Welcome to this week's chat with Tellurian. I'm Johan Joke from Investor Relations, and I'm here with our research and strategy team to discuss the fundamentals of the LNG market. To begin today, I'd like to welcome Renee Piron to discuss the latest trends in global LNG demand. Welcome, Renee.
Thanks, Johan.
Recently, we've seen a little price weakness for LNG in Europe and Asia. Is this price environment the new normal?
So I think it's really tempting to think about the LNG market from a short-term perspective. And while it's true that we've seen some price weakness in Europe and in Asia, it's really important to remember that we're talking about very long cycle, 20 to 40-year projects. And so when I look at the long-term market dynamics for LNG, particularly from a demand perspective, I'm incredibly bullish, especially given the low LNG price environment that we're seeing today. First, from a sort of a macro perspective, let's zoom out for a bit, purely from economic growth in emerging markets and also the need to have cleaner burning natural gas for environmental reasons, both for home heating and from the power sector. We really think that the future for natural gas and by extension LNG is very bright. But I think it's also important to understand what's really driving the price fundamentals right now. If you look at the way LNG trades, it trades between oil and coal prices. So on the ceiling, LNG prices trade at oil parity. And as a floor, we see heat rate adjusted Newcastle price, pretty much the LNG price floor in Asia. And if you see the LNG price dip below that, you start to see an incentive for power producers to switch from coal to natural gas in the power sector. And I think that we're seeing that this year. Especially in places like Europe, we're starting to see early signs of coal to gas switching in places like Spain and Italy, in addition to the storage increase that we've seen in the region. But I would also keep an eye on what's happening in Japan this summer and towards the winter, as they can potentially seek opportunistic distressed LNG price cargoes to switch from coal to gas in the power sector. But ultimately, as we look in the long run, we see a dramatic amount of LNG demand being created in this price environment. And ultimately, we expect there's about 1,000 million tons based on 2017 levels of potential fuel displacement alone for both the oil and coal in the power sector, the bulk of which is in China. So looking out into the future, we expect there to be about 100 million tons to 250 million tons of LNG capacity required to fill the demand that I've been speaking about. And we really believe that the United States is going to play an important role in satisfying that demand.
Thank you, Renee. Next, I'd like to welcome Kevin Green to discuss how the Permian Basin is becoming more of a driving force for U.S. liquefaction projects. Welcome, Kevin.
Thanks, Johan. Yeah, the Permian Basin intuitively is thought of a liquids and oil story, which it has been a massive part of global oil growth over the last 2 years. Just to think back in 2017, we were north of 2 million barrels per day, and now we're sitting around 4.1 million barrels per day. It's pretty astonishing that the Permian's been able to make up about a quarter of total U.S. crude production. However, when you look at the fundamentals and taking into account what Renee just talked about in terms of transitioning towards a more gas-based economy, the Permian is going to be a gas story as well, despite the fact that capital allocation really is prioritized towards the liquids in the basin. There is a growing need to get gas out of the Permian. We're flaring somewhere north of 700 million cubic feet per day at the wellheads, and year to date, gas has traded in the basin below $1 per MMBtu. And so when you combine the need to get more gas in energy mixes around the world with the fact that we have very globally competitive feedstock here in the U.S., that's coming regardless of if you're looking for the gas or not. It seems like a natural fit to push the gas to the Gulf Coast and get gas on the water in the form of LNG at a very competitive price and move the gas around, meeting the demand that's coming. And we believe that the Permian is going to be a significant source of competitive feedstock for LNG projects on the U.S. Gulf Coast.
Thank you, Kevin. Next, I'd like to welcome Kirk Shepard to discuss the latest trends for U.S. pipeline infrastructure. Welcome, Kirk.
Hey, thanks, Johan. I appreciate it. And I guess just high level, when we start thinking about what's happening in the pipeline space, and we look at the overall backlog of natural gas pipeline, the base of large diameter pipelines that are projects that are in the lower 48, we're noticing that a lot of the big projects are mostly being completed. There's still a couple that are outstanding that have been kind of been caught up in regulatory delays or other issues, and especially for those delayed projects, we're starting to see, you know, sometimes millions and billions of dollars being added onto projects. If you take a look at where those are happening, it's typically up in the Northeast or in areas that have very sensitive issues around those projects. So what we feel pretty good about in regards to, you know, the pipeline network or the pipeline projects that we are anticipating to build that will be aligned with our LNG project, the Driftwood project, our projects are basically going to be built in the southern states and probably a little more favorable environment for getting those things to go forward. Now realistically, when we start looking at in regards to the Permian, which just to kind of, you know, add on to some of what Kevin was speaking to earlier, when we focus on about the prolific supply that's going to be coming out of there, namely is associated gas from the increased liquids. we're looking at existing infrastructure has been really challenged in moving the gas supply out of the basin, and we've been seeing that people are basically having to pay for their gas to get taken away. In many regards, over this past, seems like over the last 6 months, we've seen it, multiple days like that. And I think, Kevin, I think you were doing some analysis the other day that looked at, the Waha price was around 75 cents on average, just looking at an absolute price. It's historic lows for the Waha. Now we there's a couple of our peer companies out there that are building some projects out of the Permian that should help alleviate some of that stress and constraints and allow natural gas to flow to market, notably the Gulf Coast and South Texas, as well as industrials and LNG demand. We're going to see, at least over the next 3 years, we're seeing probably 2 BCF per year come into play, whether it's a couple of Kinder Morgan projects and later another FID with the Whistler project that could come into service in 2021. We've got plans to continue to build our Permian Global Access Pipeline, the PGAP pipeline. And like I said, we're looking forward to supporting our customers and making sure that they can get access to international prices. Now realistically, we realize that, matching up supply and demand along the Gulf Coast is, that's our goal. We hope to make sure that we can satisfy our customers and make sure that they get their product to market. Now, realistically, we over the next, couple of years, as we continue to build this project, we're going to be keeping our eye on the market, market dynamics that are going to be supporting, not only the LNG Driftwood LNG project, but basically all the supply and demand, dynamics along the coast. And we hope to, like I said, the ultimate goal is to make sure that our customers can get the best price for their gas, and at the same time, keep, at least for our project, have the lowest cost on the water.
Thank you, Kirk, and to the rest of the strategy team for the informative discussion. I'd also like to thank our listeners today and remind everyone that our strategy team provides daily commentary on the oil and gas markets available on our website at tellurianinc.com. We also look forward to you joining us for our next chat with Tellurian.
Cautionary information about forward-looking statements. This podcast contains forward-looking statements within the means of U.S. federal securities laws. The words anticipate, assume, believe, budget, estimate, expect, forecast, initial, intend, may, plan, potential, project, proposed, should, will, would, and similar expressions are intended to identify forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements herein relate to, among other things, future LNG prices and demand, natural gas production, pipeline permitting and construction, and other factors potentially affecting our business and prospects and our industry. These statements involve a number of known and unknown risks, which may cause actual results to differ materially from expectations expressed or implied in the forward-looking statements. These risks include the matters discussed in Item 1A of Part 1 of the Annual Report on Form 10-K of Tellurian for the fiscal year ended December 31, 2018, and other Tellurian filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, all of which are incorporated by reference herein. FID is subject to the completion of financing arrangements that may not be completed within the time frame expected or at all. The forward-looking statements in this podcast speak as of the date it was posted. Although Tellurian may from time to time voluntarily update its prior forward-looking statements, it disclaims any commitment to do so except as required by securities laws.